We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. And we're going to transition. We're going to change things up a little bit here on the show today. First off, I am flabbergasted by the fact that when I sit down on a Sunday night and I turn on my television and I want to watch something national sports-wise, or I turn to a national sports station, I see WWE being reported. And it's absolutely blown my mind. And I had this discussion with multiple people over the weekend. Look, wrestling, it's not real. It's not a sport. It's scripted. Yet for some reason, people follow it as if it is really a sport. And it's blowing my mind at this particular time. So I had to reach out. We got a great friend of the show joining us right now, EJ Christian. He is of the Earnestly Speaking podcast. You can check that out at earnestlyspeaking.net. He has me on his podcast from time to time. We talk a wide variety of things, not just sports. But today, yeah, I figured let's dedicate a segment to the WWE. Why not? EJ, first off, I appreciate you making time for us today. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan, and first off, I still recognize it as the WWF. Sorry, I'm old school nostalgic. I will never let go of the Federation, baby.
Right. Well, hey, I'm with you. If we have to talk about it, let's call it the WWF. But with that being said, I mean, tell me, am I wrong? I say this is not a sport. I don't believe that we should be reporting on this event or these events because, again, it's scripted. It's no different than a movie. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that these wrestlers are not athletes. Okay, I know that they are. They're amazing. What they do and what they put their bodies through, it's incredible. So I'm not saying that a wrestler is not an athlete. I'm simply saying it's not a sport. Tell me I'm right or wrong here.
You're not wrong. It's not a sport. It's sports entertainment. I mean, you understand, the entertainment angle comes from the scripts. It is a derivative of sports. You know, there is athletics involved in it, you know, but to call it a tried and true sport is insulting to the actual sport of wrestling that actually is real. The wrestling is a sport, not WWE wrestling. You know, so you're not wrong there at all. You know, it's just, you know, I get why the frustration is for you especially, because you and I are pretty similar in the way we think. We looked at this stuff as more of a kind of a made-for-TV kind of thing, more like a reality TV. Reality TV without the real, you know, but it's still scripted. But, you know, and sports is kind of its own thing. Like, you don't know the result. No one knows the result of sports, you know, unless it's actually a cheese scandal involved, which is very, 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 very thin. You know, I think it's almost insulting to the real sport of wrestling, which is actually a sport, to compare that to WWE at all.
I am in a total agreement with you. And again, when you talk about some of these wrestlers, and I understand the nostalgia aspect of it. Don't get me wrong. Everyone my age grew up, again, in the golden age of the WWF, where you had a favorite wrestler. Hulkamania was huge. I mean, you grew up idolizing the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man. But at some point in time, you had to face the facts. It's not real. And that's where my frustration lies. I mean, I really had to sit there last night and watch a statistic pop up that Goldberg was 3,500 days or something in between title defenses or title reigns. Who cares? I mean, honestly, if the WWE, if they wanted to, they could plug me in there tomorrow, EJ, and I could be the champion tomorrow. I mean, it's that simple.
I think the issue is not so much that stat doesn't matter if we're talking about within the ecosystem of the WWF, or WWE, whatever you call it, if it's within that ecosystem. But if you're talking about like announcing that kind of stuff on actual sports platforms like, say, ESPN, Fox Sports, you know, any maybe. I'm not even Bleach Report. I do it past because Bleach Report caters to not just sports, but also everything else. So it caters to a lot of stuff outside of sports genre a little bit. You know, and even that'll get passed on. But to have that as like part of the injury report or the, you know, the box scores of a game, and then you have like in a ticker and saying, you know, Goldberg streak, like Undertaker streak or something like that, it doesn't make sense. And it's not to say that the WWE is bad. I am a old school fan. I still watch the old school stuff. I even own the WWE Network, and I have a paraphernalia of DVDs and VHS tapes from years past that I still watch on a regular basis. But you have to separate sports, which is sports, and WWE. There is no comparison, really. I mean, one is real, one is scripted, period. And that's a knock WWE, but each thing has its place, and people need to understand that.
No, I agree 100%. Again, our guest right now is EJ Christian of the Earnestly Speaking podcast. We are talking about WWE and if it has a place with mainstream sports today, and the simple answer is no, it does not. Now, you mentioned the nostalgia and the guys that you grew up on. I mean, you're an old school WWF fan, but it seems like you have a grip on reality. It's as if you can sit here and look at this from a realistic standpoint, and I'll be honest with you, the best part of any WWF event, now looking back on it as an adult, I understand why my father hated it so bad, because it is quite ridiculous. The best part is A, the promos, and B, the entrances. Everything that's in between, meh, okay, if you have to, I guess. If it sparks that little brain to when you collected baseball cards and when the, you know, you thought these guys were really punching each other, okay, if you must. But am I wrong? That's the two most exciting aspects of any WWF event, the promo and the entrance.
Me also, the third thing, which honestly, it's kind of harder to do today in social media today, but the storylines, which is what I love about it most. Like, and this is why I can't watch it today, because the fact that, okay, years ago, you had everything spaced out. There wasn't cable TV was still pretty, you know, new, you know, all these other sources and stuff, you know, whereas now with social media, you can find out things like within a minute. The suspense of it all is taken away today, which is why I have a hard time watching wrestling today. You know, back then, you can take a storyline like Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan for two and a half years, space it out, and even though it was fake, there was still a lot of suspense in there. Like, when Hogan and Andre had a rematch a year after WrestleMania 3, no one thought Hogan was that match. Nobody thought Hogan was that match. You know, because there wasn't all this stuff in your face that, you know, these... Kind of like how we look at, what, you know, like fantasy sports for, like, you know, things with rumors and all that stuff. And we didn't have that back in the late 80s. You know, it was television. It was like TV. So the suspense and the storylines kind of made it more watchable back then for me anyway. Today, I can't watch today just because of the fact that, you know, there's too much of it. You know, there's too many pay-per-views. As I've been saying, knocking for years now, I think the less pay-per-views, the better. And there's too much in the know between events that it's almost like you can predict who's going to be the winner of each event going forward. And that's why I can't watch it now. And I can see why the frustration, like what you said, your dad couldn't stand it back then.
He hated it.
I can't stand it, but I can see the frustration part on his end.
I'll tell you, I can't stand it because it's so unbelievable. You expect me to believe that a 50-year-old man is your champion. I mean, that is insane. So here's my question for you, and I've always wondered this, and you still somewhat follow it, and again, this is going back to the golden age. Why is it that we have so many wrestlers today that are bitter? I mean, we've had Jake the Snake Roberts on the show. We've had a couple of wrestlers join us here on the show, and it's fascinating to hear their story. But every one of them seemed to be upset that they had to drop the belt and to who they had to drop it to. Does it not register in these guys' minds that what they're doing is fake and that they're an employee of a company? They're an employee of a script writer? Does that not... I've never understood that aspect of it either.
I think because there's an actual brand involved too. Like with Hogan, it helped his brand being a title, being a champion, because he became an icon outside of the sport. When you have that brand of being a champion, you're the face of the franchise, or face of the association, in that case, the federation, you are a lot of more opportunities outside the sport. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what it is. And I think when people don't get the opportunity to be the head honcho, one of the head honchos of the federation, it kind of sort of takes away from what they could do in the future. You know, for the mainstream person may not watch wrestling, but if they know Hulk Hogan or know Macho Man Randy Savage or know Ultimate Warrior, they may be apt to at least seeing what they may do outside the sport should they get the opportunity to do it. I think that's the difference really more than anything else. I mean, I've heard stories about Honky Tonk Man, you know, being pissed off, he had dropped the title of the Macho Man Randy Savage in 88 because of, you know, he just wanted to have the title. But I understand why he wanted the title, because it helped his brand moving forward.
I got to ask you about the Undertaker streak, because this is one of the things that bugged me for so long in sports. And again, we've talked about some of the national outlets, ESPN, Fox Sports. They would actually run a picture, or they'd run a graphic that would list the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak in the same category as UCLA basketball streak or the Los Angeles Lakers 33-game winning streak. Is that not offensive? Should athletes today take offense?
I don't know, because like a part of me thinks that it's also tongue-in-cheek too. So in some way, I think most people with common sense would tell you that would know the wrestling's fake, and therefore they would look at it as a tongue-in-cheek thing. So, me personally, I wouldn't be offended by that as a guy who absolutely loves sports across the board. You know, but also I appreciate WWF, WWE, whatever you call it, from the pomp and circumstance of it all. You know, I can separate the two. Now, not many people could do that. So I don't know if I take offense to it. Is it bothersome? Maybe a little bit, but I look at it more as tongue-in-cheek type of thing.
That's a good way to look at it. I get exactly what you're saying. I just can't watch this stuff. I can't relate to it today. I could relate to it when I was a 10-year-old kid, and maybe that's the problem right. That I'm having with it. I mean, I can no longer relate to these characters. It is a male soap opera. And again, for those listening, I want to make sure that I'm perfectly clear. I understand that these guys are athletes in what they do, but to me, it's no different than a Cirque du Soleil performance. I go watch Cirque du Soleil. Those guys are athletes. But it's not, you know, you can't consider that a sport because they're working through a script.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. And I think, if you keep those things in their place, if you keep wrestling in the place that should be, there wouldn't be a problem. I think what becomes the issue becomes the confusion is more when you start bridging one or two of those things in the same world. Then you start having the issue of, the issue of, oh, well, sport, non-sport. Look, it's sports entertainment because there is a sport to the art. You know, it is a sport to some degree, but most of the whole thing is scripted. Like they know what's going to happen at the end of the road. So there is, you know, while there are athletes, it's not real. It's not unpredictable. It is predictable because somebody wrote a script towards the end of a match or how it's going to end. So once you separate the two worlds, then I think you can appreciate the two worlds for what it is.
That's great. I think you hit it right on the head. This is why I needed to bring in somebody that was neutral in regard, because I can't look at it from that point of view. I see this on TV being mentioned, you know, before we go into a Keith Thurman and a Danny Garcia fighter, before we talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers going toe-to-toe with the Atlanta Hawks, and I shake my head. I can't wrap my head around it. So I know we got a lot of wrestling fans listening. Just to toss them a bone, your top five wrestlers of all time, how do you rank them?
Top five, favorite five. I think my favorite is Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan and The Rock and Macho Man is my top three right there. I actually own a Macho Man. I actually own three Macho Man shirts. So there you go. So Savage, The Rock, and Hogan, my top three. For the bullet. I would say Stone Cold Steve Austin also too. I think, you know, just the whole aura of what he presented, and especially out the ring too. You have to respect him. Number five is hard, man. I would probably still like lean Shawn Michaels, because as an entertainer, I mean, and especially in an era when WWF was trying to rebuild after losing Hogan for a number of years, the fact that he helped carry the next generation for a good while and doing it and being a really tough guy while doing it too. I wasn't a Shawn Michaels fan in terms of, I wouldn't cheer for him on that, but in hindsight, seeing him and knowing what he put, the grind he put into making that sport what it is today, you know, you have to respect that. So I put Shawn Michaels in my top five.
EJ, I really appreciate you taking out the time to come on and talk WWE, because Lord knows I didn't want to do it. So I appreciate you coming on to talk a bit about it.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And
it is.
For the record, UFC is a sport. That's a sport.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, UFC is a sport.
You know, we don't know the result at the end. We don't know round and round if they're going to lose a fight or vice versa. So that's a sport. Big difference.
EJ, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
The podcast, iTunes, the radio, Earnestly Speaking Podcast. You can find my new blog, the news site, which is updated daily now, at earnestlyspeaking.net. I think that's it, really, for the most part, yeah.
EJ, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you again, my friend, for taking out the time to join us and talk something a little bit out of the norm rather than the typical basketball, football, baseball talk. I appreciate it.
Nothing wrong with being right now with the dog days, man. Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. Hey, we've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.